From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Juneau drivers parked in certain areas downtown must move their cars by 8 p.m. tonight, or they'll be towed. The city is removing snow from 8 o'clock tonight through 8 o'clock tomorrow from stretches of 5th, 6th, and 8th Streets, along with East Street, Gold Street, and Basin Road. The map of the designated areas is available on our website, ktoo.org. Any cars parked there after 8 o'clock tonight will be towed to the Whittier Street parking lot by Centennial Hall. The Alaska Friends Conference will issue an apology in CAKE today for the harm caused to the community by a Quaker mission they ran at the turn of the 20th century. The missionaries were also teachers at a school that forced Tlingit children to assimilate into white culture. Along with the apology, they're giving more than $90,000 to the community to help build a healing and cultural center. KTO's Yvonne Crumry spoke with those leading this effort and has more.
Jan Bronson is a member of the Alaska Friends Conference. She and a fellow Alaska Quaker have been digging into their church's history of repression and violence in Southeast Alaska, like in the village of CAKE.
We've learned we took away language. You know, we are deeply sorry. Took away dancing. Deeply sorry. Fractured relationships and families. Deeply sorry. You know, harmed children. So sorry.
The Quakers are giving CAKE over $90,000 to help fund a healing center, along with a formal public apology for harm they caused to CAKE in the 1900s. CAKE Tribal Council President Joel Jackson says missions and schools like the one in CAKE traumatized generations of tribal members.
What our people were experiencing because of, you know, the boarding school era being passed on to generations even up to now, being forced into these schools and forced not to speak their languages and, carry on their customs and traditions and their language.
Jackson wrestled with these consequences for decades, first as police chief and now as council president.
We had unfortunate high numbers of suicide in our little community.
Suicide rates plummeted after CAKE leaders established a camp 35 years ago for youth that taught traditional food harvesting and art forms like carving. But Jackson says Alaska Natives are still healing from the forced assimilation that schools like the one in CAKE brought. Jackson and other tribal leaders are designing the new center to treat addiction with traditional values and food practices like hunting and fishing.
It's very important that we at least try to give people an option to start healing from intergenerational trauma.
The Quaker's apology is being offered on CAKE Day, a day to celebrate CAKE survival and the community's cultural revitalization work. This isn't the first apology from the Quakers. In 2022, they came to Juneau to apologize for the Douglas Island Friends Mission School. And with that apology came a promise to do more, Bronson says.
And it's not enough to say we're sorry. We're committed to listening, learning, and helping heal the trauma that resulted.
Last summer, local Tlingit activist Jamie Ann Se'etlin Hasselquist and two elders, Jim and Susan LaBelle, traveled to a Quaker conference in Oregon to talk about the harm the schools caused. After that meeting, one Quaker group in the Pacific Northwest pledged $75,000 for CAKE, and others kicked in $20,000 more. Jackson, the council president, says the healing center CAKE is building with that money will help restore a sense of belonging and cultural identity to those who need it. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
When Gary Fife worked as an Anchorage radio and TV reporter in the 1990s, he stood out with his long, flowing dark hair. He was the first to host National Native News, a program that launched in Alaska on this radio network. Fife was still hosting radio shows and writing a weekly column when he died Sunday in Oklahoma at the age of 73. He devoted the last years of his life to his tribe's online news publication, Muscogee Media. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride reports, Fife worked for more than half a century to change the way journalists cover Indigenous peoples.
SJ, Stongo, Gary Fife, Idaho, Jeff Kiddos, Muskogee Radio, Mabo Hedges.
All across Oklahoma, Gary Fife was known as the voice of Muskogee, a voice familiar to Indian country in large part due to his work on National Native News, a program he helped to pioneer in Alaska in the late 1980s. Diane Kaplan, who at the time ran the Alaska Public Radio Network, says back then the search for a Native American host for a daily news show wasn't easy, but she finally found someone in Minnesota who was passionate about the job.
So I recruited Gary, and there wasn't a second person to recruit at that time that I was aware of. He was literally like the only person I could identify who had the skills to do that. And fortunately, he said yes.
Kaplan says Fife sacrificed a lot for the job. The move to Alaska took him far from home. The pay was lousy, and it fell mostly on Fife's shoulders to build a network of reporters out of a pool of mostly non-natives. In a recent interview, Fife talked about how he used his platform as an opportunity to educate journalists.
Native America is like Europe. Italians are as different from the Russians as the Apaches are from the Senecas. And so we don't speak the same language. We don't all ride horses and chase buffalo. And that was a challenge. So we'd educate the reporters. I think we gained a measure of success in doing that.
At a national minority journalism conference in Atlanta 30 years ago, Fife confronted reporters about how they perpetuate stereotypes.
One of my pet peeves used to be is every news story that we ever saw or heard opened up with a flute. I mean, a lot of tribes don't even use flutes, for God's sakes. I mean, would you use a polka every time you did a story on a German?
Gary was probably decades ahead of his time.
For Native journalists like Angel Ellis, a colleague of Fife's at Muskogee Media, he was as much a journalist as a teacher.
He was the ultimate ambassador, whether it's talking with non-natives or natives, or even people from anywhere else. Gary was at his core a person who loved people and their stories.
In one of his last interviews, Fife was hopeful about the future of Native journalism.
There is a growing cadre of young Native people joining this field, and they're good. And I'm glad to be able to say that I'm seeing these changes during my lifetime.
Changes that Fife helped to set in motion. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
The Alaska legislature on Thursday failed to override a veto by Governor Mike Dunleavy that erased $87 million in education funding. Last year, as gridlock threatened a government shutdown, the House and Senate agreed to provide $175 million in one-time funding for public schools. Governor Dunleavy vetoed half of that total. The House and Senate gathered in a joint session for the vote, which failed 33-26. Three-quarters of the combined bodies, or 45 votes, would have been required to override the veto. Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, says he's disappointed.
Obviously, I'd hoped that we'd have the votes. Education is so critical to people all across the state, and we've got a constitutional obligation to fund education. And, it's tough.
14 senators, most of the majority caucus, voted in favor of the override, though three Republicans voted against it. In the House, 21 members voted against it. The lead-up to the vote was somewhat unusual. The House narrowly rejected a vote to call a joint session on Tuesday. After some members argued on the floor that the Alaska Constitution required a vote on the vetoes, Speaker Kathy Tilton agreed to a joint session, but lawmakers did not take up any other measures vetoed by Dunleavy. The vote comes as the debate over education funding heats up in Juneau. The House Rules Committee is set to hear public testimony on a bill that would raise per-student funding by $300, along with a number of other education reforms. The hearing is set for 10 a.m. on Saturday. And a look at the weather as we head into the weekend. More snow is expected, especially on Sunday. The National Weather Service has issued a winter storm watch, which will take effect beginning Sunday afternoon through late Sunday night, with heavy snow possible. So we could see a couple inches, between 4 and 7 inches, in Glacier Bay and Juneau, as well as some of the surrounding communities. That could make travel difficult, but you should check out the National Weather Service website for updates on the storm as it comes in. And wishing you a good weekend. For more stories, you can check out ktoo.org.